what Nietzsche prognosticated too, because he believed that the consequence of the death of God would be that human beings would have to create their own values. And I believe that's wrong. I don't believe we can create our own values. But to give Nietzsche his due, which is always an important thing to do because he was a genius, it seems to me that we have to rethink what identity is from first principles. Now, can we do that successfully? We're going to find out, because the culture war is a war because of the difficulty of rethinking identity from first principles. What is it? Is it political? Is it ethnic? Is it racial? Is it economic? Is it desire? Jonathan pointed to that. Are you nothing but what it is that you want, or what something within you wants? Is it subjective? Like, is your identity only something that you control? All of those questions, that's like 10 questions. Every single one of those questions is extraordinarily difficult.
Hi, everyone. No, I do not have Jordan Peterson as a guest on my podcast. Although, who knows, someday. I certainly disagree with him enough on a lot of points to make it a very interesting discussion or even debate. But I started with this quote from one of his lectures because I want to tell you about what this brought up for me. Here it goes. I think identity is the stories you create and the stories you transmit. That's it. I think it's that important. It's also the reason why loneliness is so, so bad for people. But it's not loneliness in the sense that we mistakenly understand it. You can be lonely and you can be alone in the middle of a crowd of people, in the middle of a sea of people. You can be alone in a relationship. You can be alone in a marriage. And you can be not alone on a deserted island. See Robinson Crusoe. He created this avatar, this puppet, that he would talk to counteract loneliness. Because we tell stories to one another. How you see if you're alone or not is, do you have someone to listen to your stories? Do you have someone whose stories you want to listen to? Doesn't matter if they originated the story or you, if you're just transmitting it forward. The most important part is having someone to tell the story to, having someone's stories to listen to. If we're cut off from that, we suffer, we shrivel up, and we die slowly. That is loneliness, because you can tell a story by your smallest quanta of interaction. Person walks into a room, they look at you. You look at them. That's a story. That's a story. I just told you a story. You could imagine yourself being in that situation. You could imagine yourself being the person who walks in or the person who is already in the room. Right? That, my friends, is the power of stories. That is one of the smallest bits of interactions you can get. Just being acknowledged. Having your existence acknowledged by somebody else, or acknowledging somebody else's existence, that's small, but it's not nothing. That keeps some people going. That's enough to keep some people going. So it's all about the stories you tell, because I think stories are very important in philosophy. Incidentally, philosophy, true philosophy, I think, is done only through dialogue. You need two people for philosophy to occur. That's why I'm putting this stuff out there. I'm speaking and you're listening, and someday I hope I will get to listen to what you have to say. And then we can have a conversation. But this is good enough for a beginning, I think. So stories. The stories you tell yourself about the past have the power to change the past. Because it's one thing what actually happened, and it's another thing how you choose to view it and how you choose to remember it. You're not going to perfectly recollect an event in the past. But we also have the benefit of choosing to view certain events in the past through our own frame of reference. So the stories about what happened frame the past and change the past. The story you tell yourself about what's going on right now, the explanation, the narrative of what is going on in your life with you right now at this very second, if you had to tell that to somebody, you'd be creating a story, you'd be relating a story about what is happening. And the same rule applies. You can tell a million different stories about this very second in your life. They won't be the same. And it's a matter of choice, because now it's no longer the past. Even there, you had a choice, and that's already happened. Now it's happening right now. You get to choose the story you're living at this moment. And the stories we tell about the future, well, that's our hopes and dreams and goals and purpose and meaning. Do you see? It's all about stories. That's why they're so powerful. And what is a story but the implementation of an archetype? And, you know, Peterson, who I've just audio quoted in the beginning, if he's not fascinated with archetypes, I don't know who the hell is. Archetypes, according to him, are patterns of behavior common across stories. Or, if you want to use a definition that doesn't involve stories, because that gets kind of circular, because you define archetypes via stories and stories via archetypes. So it's a bit of a circular definition going on there. So archetypes would be ideas so powerful that they are ingrained within our biology. Ideas older than trees, as he would put it. Older than our ability to perceive trees, to be clear. So what is a story then? Well, a story is a series of events that implements an archetype. What's happening there has to correspond to an archetype, but it also personalizes the archetype. If you tell yourself a story about some heroic deed you've done, well, you're implementing the hero archetype. The story is the means by which you connect the universal idea to your personal universe. So we need stories because they're our way of connecting to one another, both consciously and unconsciously, what Jung would call the collective unconscious. And we cannot exist in isolation. That's why I mentioned the loneliness idea before. That's why the most severe punishment is solitary confinement in prisons. What do you do to punish the one who's already had their freedom taken away from them? Well, you take their interactions away from them. You take the ability to tell and listen to stories away from them by isolating them from other individuals.
So I think that's the answer, not only to identity, because that is a difficult problem, like Peterson says. That is the problem. In the telling of the story, there is choice. And choosing is the most human thing we can do. So that means, by extension, that telling stories is the most human thing we can do. Think about it. We're the only ones with language advanced enough to tell stories. Other species communicate, and they communicate quite well, to the degree that we understand their language. They might tell some primitive stories, but we definitely tell the best stories, we humans. Anything else on this earth doesn't even come close. We tell stories and we create music, and a story can be pragmatic, but a story can also be beautiful. And beauty can be just for the sake of beauty, like a song, or it can also transmit a message, like a story. Hey, that's why we love musicals so much. There's other species who create music, right? The songbirds. But the stories are our secret weapon, our advantage. What makes us human? It's our X factor, to put it in branding terms. I don't know if I'm going to make this public. This started out as more of a note to myself, but hey, when in doubt, go public, see what people think. Moving on. The author of the story is important. If our identity is formed by the stories we tell, or the stories we create and transmit, the stories we listen to, the decision as to what stories we choose is ours, but also the authorship of the stories matters. If you've chosen a particular story, but you didn't write it, who did? Do you even know? Do you even care? Does it matter? Well, it might be just me, but I think some people prefer writing their own stories. And I think that might be better if you can do it. And I think we can all do it. We all do it to some extent, but some do it more than others, and some do it better than others. And there's a pretty good correlation between the two, because the ones who do it more end up doing it better. That's the next level of being human, so to speak. It's not just transmitting stories created by others. Well, those are important. It's writing your own stories. Because if you think about it, creating a thing, like, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything's a remix. Everything's a rehash. Everything's been done. Think of the very funny episode in South Park called The Simpsons Did It. They're trying to come up with some original idea, and they can't because The Simpsons already did everything. So what's even the point of creating or writing new episodes of another comedy show, another cartoon, because there's The Simpsons who already did every idea possible? Well, actually, you kind of have to have your own take on an existing idea. That's why there's such a thing as archetypes. You can create another story based on the same archetype. You can take two or three stories or however many and create a new one out of them. And on it goes. Because the story you create will be used by others. as an ingredient in their own stories. And on it goes. So to the degree that we create and remix other people's stories, because there's no way of writing a completely original story, to the degree we do that, we contribute to, I don't know, to humanity. We become more human. The more we become authors in our own stories, the bigger part we play in creating and altering and editing and putting together our stories about our past, our present, and our future, the more human we become, because we become better creators. And if we want to get closer to the concept of God with a small g, since I do believe in concept of God, but not in the personified God that religions use, but this is a huge separate subject. It's very notion of God is based on creation, because that's the very thing, the very first thing and the most important thing that God ever did was create the universe. It was an act of creation. That's how the Bible starts. That's how any mythology starts, with the myth of creation. That's the primordial myth, the first letter of the archetype alphabet. It's the first pattern, the oldest pattern, the pattern of creation. And when we create our stories, we are engaging with the same pattern. It's an archetype about an archetype. It's a meta pattern. It's a pattern about the pattern. It's a story about how stories get created and modified. This is getting too technical. So the basic idea, I think, would be that the more you create, the better it makes you as a human. Because creating stories is the most human thing we can do. And creating is the most divine thing we can do. It's the closest we can get to divinity. But I'll leave you with this. If you are not the one authoring, editing, and curating the stories about your past, present, and future, then who is? Ask yourself that. I think it's an important question, because the one who does that is the one who is in control of your life. To the degree that you are the one doing it, that is precisely the degree to which you are in control of your own life. They are the same thing. And you see, this means control over your own life is not external, because you can lose your external freedoms, as it happened with unfortunate individuals who were put in concentration camps. But you can still, as some of them have, retain control and authorship of your own stories. The stories about your past, the stories about your present, and your future. They can never take that from you if you don't let them. So, the question is, who will write your stories? Will it be you? Will it be others? Think about it.